Deborah, and welcome to part two of three of your 2014-15 birthday reading. Let's talk a little bit about Chiron. Chiron in the sixth house in Pisces. And then I bring into that the discussion of Mercury retrograde and the eclipses that are very much part of your astrology this year. I talked about in the previous section about how Pluto in Capricorn, the foundation of any discussion of Libra astrology, is about independence and making sure that from a security standpoint, from whatever that means to you, that you are able to stand on your own feet and maintain your own structure. That the structures designed and maintained by others, or where you live as a kind of a guest, are not necessarily the ones that are for you. They're not the ones you want to be in. You want to be in the one that you trust because you built and designed it. And that, in the world, real world, can look like emotional independence. It can look like having your own home where you control your home, where you are the master of your own home, and a number of other ways in which independence, emotional and physical independence, can manifest. This same scenario appears a few other ways. One of which is, before we get into Chiron, let's talk about the journey of Saturn through your second house, Scorpio. Second house is your available resources. Second house is your money, but it's also your talent, your energy stores, how you feel about yourself, your available cash, an important resource, and your sense of financial independence that, to be real, would need to be verified by some kind of real world, you know, result. And you've had Saturn in this house, and Saturn has been pushing and nudging and guiding and teaching and encouraging you to make sure that this very tangible thing of financial independence and a measure of financial autonomy, and perhaps more in the language of Saturn, authority over your finances, is something that you are claiming as your own. It is very easy to delegate this to parents, to husbands or partners or business partners or bookkeepers or the accountant, and sometimes that works well, sometimes it doesn't work well, but your own mission at this point is to take over all of that. And by that, I don't mean taking over all the work necessarily, but I mean taking over consciousness, responsibility for how things are done, responsibility for who does what, and quite possibly making sure that you are personally involved in the restructuring or building of structure around your finances, around your money, around your resources in whatever form they take. And one of the things that needs some chiropractic adjustment in the world, I would say, is the current obsession in our era with money. It seems to be obsessed over in two main ways: obsessed over getting it and obsessed over about not having it. And both of those can go to extremes. In fact, they seem to be going to an ever polarizing extreme. And you would be wise to come in from those extremes, whether one extreme is a struggle that is ongoing, a kind of austerity struggle, or an obsession with having and getting more for no special apparent purpose. And the second is less likely than the first. Most people on the level of society that hasn't quite reached Wall Street yet are still struggling. The very wealthy have had their recovery. They've done beautifully since 2008, since everything went wrong, and many people have never missed a bonus on that level of society, and very few have faced any consequences for their actions. But for the regular people, real income is going down, minimum wage is not going up, and this requires some careful, shrewd thinking. It requires independence, and it requires taking authority over yourself. And the message of Saturn going through the second house of your chart is going to be emphasized by an eclipse of the sun right in the first degree of Scorpio. A message that what is you and what is yours are one and the same thing. That you have access to what is yours, and that whether or not you like it, you are ultimately responsible for yourself and for the decisions that you make. And this is not territory that is especially welcoming in this time of history. I mean, I think that the Western world has always been a bit delusional, and yet I think we seem to live in a really quite delusional era when it comes to expectations and the belief in, you know, instant fame and fortune for absolutely nothing. And everyone knows there's lots of millionaires and billionaires rolling around, and hey, I could be one of those too. And that's all pretty delusional. And the emphasis on the second house for you is about clarifying, solidifying, and living in accord with your values. And the second house eclipse is a kind of laser focus on your values, a laser focus on what is important to you, and honoring that. Now, interestingly, it is a sun-moon conjunction on your second house cusp, and the sun and the moon in your chart are all about the professional dimension of your life. For example, Cancer is on your 10th house, the house of your highest calling. That's ruled by the moon. And Leo is on the 11th house, the house of your professional income, and to a very large extent, your reputation, how you're perceived, how you are known, and the contribution that you make for which you are rewarded. And there is some message here about aligning all of those things, your mission, your presentation in the world, first 10th house, second 11th house, and then bringing in Scorpio, the second house, your talents, your resources, your values, and the financial worth of it all. And the precision of this eclipse and the highly focused gathering of themes that comes right back to you is saying that this is no kind of game to play fast and loose, but rather something to move with extreme precision, making real decisions based on a plan. Now, as this concept of time starts to deconstruct itself, which seemed to be in this era where there's like not really a concept of time, it's going by very quickly, and there seems to be plenty of time to waste, and then on the other hand, the world always seems like it's ending, and on and on and on. There's a lot of confusion around time. But one of the most basic concepts of maturity is the ability to structure time and the ability to use time well, and that implies a measure of planning, a real measure of learning from the past, and a commitment to utilizing what is in truth one of your very most important resources, arguably, could take a second to philosophize about this, the most important resource you have, which is your time remaining on the planet. What else is there if not for your time remaining on the planet? And I have never seen that concept applied to the second house, but, you know, talk about an available resource. And I think that with Scorpio on the second house, you have an idea that this is an available resource, but it is a finite available resource because life as we know it, this incarnation, comes to an end at a certain point, and we don't know when that is. And so it is a variable resource, but one that we have to use and structure. Well, it's a bit complicated, but, you know, there's careful ways to plan for the end of life. There's careful ways to make an assumption that, well, you know, I'm healthy, I'm of a certain age, I can plan realistically to live this long. And that kind of understanding of the finite nature of things is a very vital, crucial element of working with the finite resource of time, the available resource of time. And Saturn moving through the second house, Saturn being one of the great lords of time from traditional astrology, is saying, this is a resource to use well, to use efficiently. And the eclipse is saying, this is a resource to claim entirely as your own. Your time is your time. And so there is a compound understanding happening. There is a concept that brings together all of your talents and all of your goodwill, 11th house, your goals, 10th house, your talents and resources, and your time, 2nd house, into one idea, which is this eclipse that happens right after the sun leaves your sign, but is still very much an event that is present and distinctive and crucial to understand in your chart. And what it represents in the course of your life. Now, there is a hint in your chart of hidden resources. I see this in the equinox chart, where in the equinox chart, chart for the sun entering your sign, the sun is in Libra, but the moon and Venus are in Virgo in the 12th house. And so there is the reminder that I'm given by that to encourage you to look for things that you have not considered for gifts and talents and possible collaborations that you have not considered for resources in any form that are out of sight and therefore quite possibly out of mind. There's other elements of that presence of Venus and the moon in Virgo that all fit the missing resources theme of things. And, you know, for example, probably the most important one is maintaining awareness of how you feel. It can be very difficult with the moon and Venus even hinting at their being in the 12th house, which for you is Virgo, because that 12th house concept is about what is unseen, what is missing. And when Venus, your ruling planet, is in there, as it was for both the equinox and the new moon in Libra that happened about 36 hours after the equinox, Venus is still there in the 12th house, there can be that sensation of yourself having gone missing from your own life. And because there is so much going on in Scorpio, the sense that others have that kind of role to fill in that blank, which there is this very determined element of your psyche to not have that be so anymore, to make sure that the influence of others the control of others is reduced down to a bare minimum. Now, let's move over to Pisces and Chiron in Pisces. Chiron not being an easy factor to read because typically, well, the books are only so good, and the experience with Chiron that most astrologers have is not that focused, and there's a number of ways that Chiron can manifest. My observation of Chiron in the sixth, first of all, is the focus on independence. Chiron is another factor that talks about independence and freedom from expectation, particularly expectation of society, the impulse to be different that is present in your work. And your work, you know, easily enough inferred just by being a Libra, but especially emphasized by the presence, the power of Pisces in your chart, is associated with some spiritual gift, with some element of beauty, with a certain softness, and with a full commitment to your creative process. Easier said than done. Much more easily said than done. Even as I sit here and, you know, recognize what it is to do work where you bring your full creativity to that work, and then also understanding the challenges, for the hour and a half of my time that I give you in this, I've spent 50 hours supporting the structure around this reading. So I understand how crucial that is and how tempting it is to give away certain elements of power that are not necessarily easily handled, that are tempting because there is so much responsibility involved, that are tempting to forego because there is so much struggle around one's worth, one's true talent. And the world is quite often so mean to people who dare to express their true talent. But Chiron is not taking that. And Chiron is a very strong influence. And when someone embodies Chiron in a healthy way, in a way that is conscious, in a way that is living with the full commitment to growth and to healing, which Chiron is encouraging you to do, Chiron is a force to be reckoned with. I don't care who anyone is, who the man is, who the structure, the powers that be, Chiron has the ability to penetrate that and to forge its own way, to create its own independence, and to live in a way that is fully committed and that in the process taps into a kind of a timelessness. Chiron in Pisces in the sixth is the perfect image of the artist or the artisan working in their space, in their studio. And I can't imagine that there is not a single living artist who hasn't felt that sensation of the craftsman, a leathersmith or a potter or anyone who hasn't felt that sensation of being in a timeless space, of being outside of the normal constraints of time and part of a very deep tradition of the human response both to the need for practicality and the soul's need for beauty and creativity. And that is the gift of Chiron in the sixth house working for you. Now, there's also Neptune in this house, and Neptune is going to be there a lot longer than is Chiron. And I think that while Chiron is here, and that's going to hold up for about 3 to 4 more years, the date that Chiron ingresses Aries escapes me right now, and I'm in the middle of a thought, so I can't stop and think it through, but we're looking at 3 or 4 more years, is a very important time to structure, to define your mode of independence, your concept of what it means to be your own person. And if you're working within a company situation where you have to work around others, it's going to be essential you know, especially if you're committed to that and there's not necessarily a path that you're interested in or a viable path out of that kind of collective structure of the sixth house, that you make sure that your place of work, the place where you show up every day, really is someplace that you feel safe and sane and where you feel like you belong there. And part of feeling like you belong there is feeling like you belong there and also that you are the person who is allowed to be different, in that you can be the person that you are who is not the person working in the next room or the person working next to you. Now, if we take this whole transit one level up, there is something of the, there is a clear image of the training to be a master healer of some kind. And I use those words reluctantly, though I do mean them when I say them. That the presence of Chiron in the sixth indicates, especially retrograde as it is now, indicates some high level of learning, some high level of mastery, some level of engagement with the tradition of the spiritual masters, and taking them as your mentors, and doing this in a way that is clear-headed, where you are tracking your progress as best you can, even if that is only in, you know, quarterly reassessments, in self-understanding, in lots of different ways of marking time. I mean, but that is what Chiron is encouraging you to do, is to occupy that space outside of time, occupy that space where you know you stand in the tradition, and then to mark the seasons with the story of your own growth, to mark these movements off so that you can go through what you might think of as a series of initiations. On the most mundane level, Chiron in the sixth in Pisces is saying, be aware of your health, and most important, be aware of your health in the context of your spiritual health, because with Chiron, well, with Pisces in the sixth, which is what you were born with, there is always going to be what I would describe as an extreme sensitivity to your environment, that you are susceptible to the influences of the good vibes in, the beauty in, the love in, the toxins in, the noise in, the harmonized colors, the clashing ugly colors. You will be susceptible to all of the above. And if you are experiencing any health manifestations, the level to go to, first of all, is what is in your environment that is influencing you? What is your state of spiritual health? How do you feel about your life? How do you feel about your existence? Do you feel sane? And to address the sanity question, the peace of mind question, the spiritual connection question, before or at the same time as you're addressing any symptoms, for example. So certainly, if you are feeling unwell in any way, the moment you have the intuition to get help, but there's that level that help does not generally help with. Which is to say, there are a few doctors who will say, well, what, you know, what is your overall spiritual state? Maybe what you're experiencing is a manifestation of being unhappy, or a manifestation of needing to be in a better environment. So apart from, you know, anything that might be medical per se, the influence of your environment on your well-being is crucial, and the influence of your work environment on your well-being is crucial. And the focal point is Chiron, but the diffusion point is Neptune. So it's also possible to ignore factors, to ignore all kinds of factors that might be very irritating to you because Neptune is there and it's sort of giving you this kind of pass in this strange way that Neptune does where we can deny things and not know we're denying them, basically. So you've got Chiron there now for a few more years while Neptune is there. And the whole dance of Neptune and Chiron in Pisces is use this time now to get structured while conscious, structured, aware, attuned, in line with yourself while Chiron is present in the sixth house in Pisces. Because Chiron's going to move on. Neptune's going to stay there. And there's going to be a whole other story told by that combination of factors now as Chiron moves into Aries, I think, in 2018 or 19. And which will create other circumstances, potentially distractions or shifts in your life, but you will still need to attend to the environmental, work-related, learning-related, healing-related matters of the sixth house. And so the presence of Chiron there is saying, learn everything you can now. Make the decisions while you notice you need to make the decisions. Don't let things linger. It's very easy to let things in your environment linger. And I would just remind you, as I often remind Libras, you need beauty around you where you work. Your office must have light. It must be the right color. There must be the right art on the walls. It would be very helpful if you had plants, and even better yet, critters that kind of kept the place vibrant and alive and warm and truly in harmony with who you are. And this may necessitate a change in career path to do that, to make sure that you can put yourself where you need to be. And if you are even vaguely contemplating or have some idea that in the future you're going to want to be independently employed, I would strongly propose that now is the time to make those decisions, at the very least lay the foundation, but the foundation is just the bottom floor. So you want to lay that foundation and understand the steps that it is necessary to take to getting where you need to be and embark on taking those steps. There is no time now to say, oh, that's just going to happen sometime in the future. Because, you know, time goes by pretty quickly. And the older you get, the more quickly time seems to go by. It's, you know, very strange thing. And, you know, you could analyze this out as well. Each year is a smaller percentage of your total life. And therefore, in a sense, each year is shorter. And if you're noticing that, it's time to act on that and to make sure that you're not deferring important decisions for the future. What else? One last thing worth mentioning in this on the you know, earth plane discussion, these houses of 2 and 6 and 10, is that Mercury's retrograde in your second house. It's about to be. When this reading comes out, Mercury will be retrograde, and it'll be retrograde clear through. It ends on the 26th, and the Sun enters Scorpio, I think, on the 23rd. So for the rest of the time, the Sun's in Libra, Mercury will be retrograde first in Scorpio, then in Libra. And this is saying you need a financial review. You need to review your spending habits and patterns. You need to review your books, basically, whatever they might be, which is an extension of the spending habits and patterns, and get some documentation going and make sure that you're living in accord with your values. You're very likely to make some discoveries at this time in your life, and you are likely to have sufficient information to act on. Note that around the time of the 4th, and again around the time of the 26th, there may be significant discoveries that you make that you need to act upon. The information is coming to you for a reason. When Mercury stations, either retrograde or direct, there can be this effect of the truth being shaken out. Something is revealed. Something bubbles up to the surface. And if something does, that's the time to take that information and say, okay, what does this information mean? And what does it mean in terms of an action plan that I need to take based on what I know? And if you live in a wholly conscious way, that is another way of saying that you use what you know, and what information comes to you to be able to use and apply in making decisions. Decisions being the central focus of how we steer ourselves through life. I know there's a whole mythology around Libra. Many Libras say that making decisions is the worst thing that they do, but it's a little like driving a car and saying, steering, I'm good at driving, but it's just steering that I can't handle. That's what a decision is. So anytime you hear yourself, if you do, tell yourself that decisions are not exactly your forte. The next time you get behind the wheel of a car, imagine that you're not very good at steering. We all know what would happen. And so the way you steer your life is you assess the information that comes to you consciously and then evaluate it in terms of what it's prompting in terms of the decisions that you make. Okay, so I'm going to end part two on that thought, and we'll, as is my tradition, sleep on this experience and in the morning take a look at the Voyager Tarot by Dr. James Wanless. And I will precede that with some astrology afterthoughts. I always have a few. I think for one of the signs recently, the astrology afterthoughts went on for 40 minutes. I think that was might have been for Virgo. Went on and on, and I added the tarot session in a fourth session. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think I've thought this through a number of times and wanted to keep it focused. So in any event, I hope this information has been useful to you, and I will bid you farewell for the moment, and I will catch you in a digital instant. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.